This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, don't you just love that song? I think Mel McDaniel wrote that song just for you and me on Saturday mornings. What do you think? Well, wake up. It's time to get out there fishing, and we provide you the information you need to do just that. That's what we do on this show. So grab you a cup of coffee, maybe some boudin and a biscuit, and get ready for your two-hour journey to the great outdoors of the Gulf Coast. Well, got some good news this week. Grand Isle's getting a new fishing reef. Compliments of Todd Graves and Raisin Canes, and we'll be covering that for you on Bayou Wild TV. You can actually watch the construction, and then hopefully you get a chance to get out there and catch some fish over it. Those reefs, by the way, they attract fish not immediately, but very shortly after they're constructed, and we'll tell you all about it if you check out a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. Also this morning, if you're still home or you're at the camp, or if you're even on your way to the boat ramp, you can do this when you get home. But I want you to check out your freezer and inventory the game and seafood you have in there. Then figure out if you're going to use enough of it to make room for more, because the hunting seasons are going to be open in a couple of weeks. Fall fishing gets better, and if you don't have enough room, well, Julie Grunewald is going to be joining us a little bit later on to help you solve that problem. And it's called Clean Out Your Freezer Day, and it's coordinated by the Hunters for the Hungry. And if you do make a donation, besides making freezer space, I guarantee you'll feel better about yourself for helping the less fortunate. And if you happen to have one of those successful fishing trips this week and you want to share it with your fellow listeners, we'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions, your reports, and those reports from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time here to the studio at 504-260-1870. Don't forget, tell me, how's your freezer looking? Is it full, bare, got just a little bit of room? 504-260-1870. Then this week, we take you to Florida to meet three alleged bad boys of the outdoors. They not only conspired to hoodwink out-of-state hunters, maybe some people here from Louisiana, but also endangered an entire subspecies of wild game, and they are facing thousands of dollars and possible jail time. That's coming up a little bit later on. If you're headed out today, your coastal marine forecast looks like this. And I tell you, this forecast, if it was about 50 degrees cooler, it could be a winter-type forecast. Northerly winds offshore, 8 to 15 knots, about 1 to 2-foot seas. If you're going to be on the interior lakes and bays, you're looking at some northeasterly, maybe switching around to westerly winds later. Pretty light, 5 to 10, got some smooth conditions. Tide range, only 0.4 is your average. Not a lot of water moving out there. Got to look for those points where you'll have maybe some water moving, some bottlenecks, maybe underneath some bridges, deep cuts in the marsh. That's probably going to be your best bet. Mississippi River stage sitting at 4.3 and steady. Pretty low for this time of the year, and right now we don't have any threats of tropical storms or depressions. There's a little system working out there that may be headed to the Atlantic that bears watching. But otherwise, it's going to be continued hot, mostly dry weather along the Great Gulf Coast. Could get you a pop-up shower or two to cool things off. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, we're getting ready to kick it off. We got a bunch of field reporters standing by with a lot of information that you wait every Saturday morning to hear. Robbie Campo will be up first, and we're going to take it on down to Shell Beach. But first, got a three-minute pause. We do those quite often, and thankfully we do, because that's who brings you this show. Absolutely free. You don't need any subscription. One of the few free media outlets still around. And it's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Shell Beach is one of the spots we get reports from each week. And Robbie Campo at Shell Beach and Campos Marina does it for us. Robbie, what's been going on this week?
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a recap, Don, of the week here. Monday was great. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we wound it up with westerly winds. It was northwest, west, and then southwest. And that kind of made fishing a little bit tough. Speckled trout fishing anyway made that a little bit tough. But Yesterday was a game changer. We had a different win yesterday, and the guys got out into the sound out there, and they did very well yesterday. I saw more fish hit the table yesterday than I did Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So, you know, combined. So yesterday was an excellent day for fishing. this morning we wake up, we got a northerly breeze this morning. So down here, and it's probably around the you know, a little over the 10-mile-an-hour mark this morning here. So I'm kind of thinking that's gonna make things a little bit tougher out in that sound today. But nevertheless, the backside of the rock should be good. You know, the backside of the long rock should be good. They caught a bunch of fish there this week. No reason that you can't go pick up a mixed box down there, you know, because if you're not catching just speckled trout, you're going to get some sheephead, you're going to get some puppy drums, you're going to get a redfish or two, and I think you can put a mixed box together. If you come inside of the Mystico around Anastasio, and fish the edge of the channel there, or fish in those little cuts coming all the way back to where you come around the backside of the dam. Plenty of white trout back there, so there's no reason that you can't make a mixed box. My dad and Mr. Allen Blanchett fished Thursday, and they went back at the dam back there and caught a box full of white trout. That was Thursday, so. I mean, there's something that you could do. I mean, you could make something happen, I'm sure. A lot of white trout's been showing up over these oyster reefs over in the Christmas Camp Lake area. So there's that to do with some speckled trout, but there's a lot of throwbacks done. Just so many throwbacks. That, you know, it's 12 and 3/4 and 12 and a half, and I'm just hoping that these things eat enough that they grow to make that 13-inch fish for the fall. Because it's so close, you know what I mean? Can they grow that half an inch in that 2 months before October gets here? That remains to be seen.
Well, I think they absolutely can, and it's very important to remind people, take care of those fish, you know. Try to avoid throwing them in where, you know, one of the predators like a pelican or, you know, a dolphin will get a hold of them. Make sure you try to remove the hooks as gently as you can, and, you know, take care of putting them back in that water, because that's going to be your fish for your next trip, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, Don, I think and look, this is just my opinion, you know, but I think that, you know, we're doing more harm than good here because, I mean, I hear people come in and I hear these stories. They caught at least 150 that were undersized. And there's a lot of action out there, right? There's plenty of action going on, especially if you're fishing the long rocks. These dolphins are, you know, they skirt in the rocks, you know, just like, you know, they're feeding up along these rocks. And they know they've already been trained, and they know that, you know, when there's boats there that and they're catching fish and they're throwing them over, it's a very good chance that they're going to get gobbled up by a dolphin. And yeah. and that's out of your control because you're doing the right thing and putting him back. But I just don't know if we made the right move here. But I guess time will tell, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, it's a big question as to whether, you know, where if it was a 12-inch, still 12-inch size, and people would have caught their limit, they'd done. So they leave all those other fish in the water. But when you're catching and releasing 150 fish, they claim there's a 10% mortality rate, but I'm not so sure how accurate that is. You know, and you may be right. We may be putting too much pressure on the fish by, you know, trying to keep those 13-inch fish and releasing so many 12s and 12-and-a-half that don't survive, that we're doing more damage than good on the overall population. But time will tell. We'll see how the fishing goes, and that's the regulation we got. That's what we got to live by right now.
That's exactly correct. I tell people, you know, they come in and they're frustrated, you know, and I'm like, hey, I don't make the law. I just abide by it. You know what I mean? So that's just what we got to do. So, you know, I lobbied for 12 inches. You know, maybe you should have made the meeting is what I say. You know?
Well, you know, the other problem is I'm also hearing from the people that was already decided. Yeah. But I'm also hearing from the people with the only two over 20 inches. They got people fishing out of venison. Every fish they catch is over 20 inches. So they make that long run, fish all day, and they got two fish.
Well, that's the second thing I was going to say. So you got two strikes against you here, and when you have to leave bigger fish to go look for smaller fish, I mean, I would imagine as being a guide, and I'm not one, but I know a lot of these guys, and I can guarantee you that it's got to be really frustrating, especially for those Carter boys down there in Venice.
Yeah, right.
They're some of the best in the business, you know, Brandon and Johnny, great fishermen, and I know that they run across this all the time, you know. So, the guys that we have around here, I mean, they seeing it all the time. So it is frustrating, but look, again, we don't make the law. We just got to abide by it, and we'll see how this works out in the next couple of years. Maybe we could talk to Jeff Landry and maybe make a change or two somewhere along the line. But, you know, for right now, Don, this is the hand we dealt, and that's what right. We're going to have to do, just live by that. So,
you know, one of my suggestions
–
One, I was going
to
say,
Robbie,
I was going to say one of my suggestions was zones with different sizes, you know, where you have areas where you have a tendency to catch those bigger fish, allow more to be kept, and then in areas where you're catching a lot of the small fish like Lafitte and sometimes Grand Isle, you know, let them keep a little smaller fish there, and then have another zone out by the west, you know, where, by Calcasieu, where they got a little bigger fish. And they didn't want to hear that. They said enforcement would be a nightmare, and, you know, it would take more studies to determine exactly what limit should be placed in what zone. But we've got zones for everything else. Duck zones, we got deer zones, we got shrimp zones, you know. So why not fish
zones?
And maybe they'll reconsider. We'll see. We got to give it a chance, and we'll see what happens with them.
You're right. So if you're coming down this morning, look, make hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We got plenty of bait. We're waiting on them people to show up, so come on down and come and see us at Camp Oates. We're waiting on you.
You're always on the left, huh, Robbie? Never changes.
That's right.
Been there for almost 100 years, huh?
121, be
121.
Exact.
121, wow. Where's the time go, huh? All right, Rob, thanks for the report, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next Saturday, Don. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo. Stop in and see him or give him a call. Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. All right, coming back after this. Okay, we got some text messages coming in. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. If you don't mind, give us your first name at least and where you're calling from. We're back after this. All right, comments, questions, your freezer inventory for fish and game, and also how's the new speckled trout regulations working out for you? You happy with them? Wish it hadn't changed, or would you hope it had changed for something else? The text line number is 504-260-1870. And let's get to some of them now. The Steel Man, he's up early checking in. He's a regular. He said smalls and he are going to hunt for reds in a classified area based on good intel. Okay, sounds like some clandestine-type fishing there. We can't divulge his area. But anyway, good luck to him and T-Gem. Big Burr is going to be doing solid work they put in yesterday at Gaydon. I guess that's on the deer and geese blinds. And however, the photos from last night leads him to believe there will be a few hands down this morning. Uh-oh. Yeah, that has a tendency to happen at some of the camps. All right, Captain Ross L. checking in, says fishing was hot this week as usual. Oh, it was hot temperature as usual, but it was good. Dad L. is in Panama City doing some offshore fishing. Hope he's listening. Good luck, Pops. Go get him. And here's one that says, my freezer needs some Gulf and marsh meat stock, something bad. I got to get on the water soon. And, well, that's not the way we hoped it would work. We hope you had an overabundance so you could make a donation to the Hunters for the Hungry. But, you got to get it first. And we got our buddy Wingbone over in Alabama. He's listening to the show. He's got a cup of coffee, and he's already up at work sanding in one of those Wingbone calls. That's our buddy Wingbone. And we got this one, Mr. Don. Are people like me who stopped hunting eligible for some of that wild game food giveaway? Not exactly. It's not designed for people who no longer hunt. It's designed for the less fortunate, the people who are down and out and need food and get food through food banks, like Second Harvest or the Food Bank of Greater Baton Rouge, those kind of places. And if you qualify for that, certainly, you know, you can get in the list to get some. And it's a real treat for them to get this because, as all of you know, you don't go in the store and buy wild game. It's illegal. And to have wild game given to you by someone who spent their hard-earned dollars and time to go get it is a real treat. And it's on the cookouts I've been on, and when we go out and serve these people at the food banks, believe me, they are very, very appreciative to get it. But, you know, if you qualify for it through a food bank, you can get it. But other than that, they're looking for it to work the other way. Now, here's one that says, my freezer needs Gulf and Marsh meat. Stock something bad. I got to get on the water soon. That's Ben in Ponchatoula. Looks like we got more people needing fish and game than ready to donate it. Here's one from the River Rat checking in with us with a good morning. Thanks for what you do. All right, River Rat, thank you. All right, coming up next week, as I mentioned earlier, if you heard, I'm going to talk to Darrell Carpenter more about this because I know he and I have fished this area, and they're going to be creating a reef, artificial reef, down in Grand Isle. They're going to do it on Wednesday. I'm talking about the Coastal Conservation Association. And a very generous donor, Todd Graves, the owner and founder of Raising Cane's, he's donating $100,000 to CCA that will help build and install this reef. And it's all going to be done on Wednesday. Our Bayou Wild TV crew will be there on the boat. You'll hear from probably Madison Sheehan, the head of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. She will be there. Todd Graves is going to be there, representatives from the Coastal Conservation Association. So a new fishing spot in Grand Isle. We'll talk to Darrell more about its location and what it might be expected to produce. All right, also of interest to you deer hunters, have you ever shot a deer with velvet antlers? And, you know, the deer have soft antlers during this time of year. They regrow their antlers each year. They shed them. They drop them after the winter. And then they grow new and hopefully larger antlers. And they stay in velvet until they scrape the velvet off as the antler turns hard. It gets like a bone. Well, they have a special velvet season in Mississippi, the opportunity to take a deer when it still has its antlers in velvet. They schedule it early when they're still in velvet. And you can get them in October during the early bow season, but usually about that time they start scraping off the velvet. And the in fact, you'll see some of them, they've got these strings of velvet hanging off their antlers. Anyway, September 13th through 15th, it's a short season. It's on private lands only, and you can get one legal buck. Depending on the legal buck is determined by the unit you hunt in. Mississippi has four different units, and it's either 12-inch spread, 10-inch spread, or you can take any buck in one particular area. But it's one per day, and it's archery only. You can use a longbow, a recurve, a compound, and a crossbow. But it has to be archery. You need a special permit in addition to your other licenses. If you're a resident, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, it's $100 for your velvet deer permit. And there's also a mandatory harvest reporting you've got to do, similar to what happens here in Louisiana, and also a mandatory CWD, chronic wasting disease testing. You have to drop it off at a participating taxidermist within 5 days of the harvest to check it for CWD. Those are the parameters. If you want to get in on a velvet deer hunt, that's a good opportunity. It's in Mississippi, and you can find out more information on the Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks website. All right, coming back, going to tell you, hey, ladies, if you want to get out and learn how to fish, if your husband or boyfriend won't teach you, we got somebody at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries that will. They got a couple of workshops coming up that could lead to a special overnight weekend fishing trip for you. We'll tell you about it when we come back after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, checking on our text message board, our communication with our listeners. We got the Backstrap Stacker checking in from Bama. He's headed up to knock down some grass at the camp during this little dry spell. Yeah, if you got a spot that stays a little sloppy and muddy and you got to do some trimming on it, this little dry spell we've had has kind of knocked it out. In fact, yesterday when I got up, boy, it was incredibly light humidity and a little bit cool. It was like 71 degrees, and I was saying, whoa, where did I wake up this morning? And it gives you just that little bit of hint of fall, which kind of gets you pumped up for the hunting season. Go get it back, Strapper. Get your work done. We also have this one. Good morning, Don. We'll be heading to Grand Isle to deliver some offshore weights to Bent Rods Offshore Fishing Charters, Sinkers by the Pound, LLC. All right, Bent Rods guys, you got some sinkers coming down there. Be ready for them. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify. And on the way back, we're going to get back to the text message and also tell you ladies about some free fishing workshops for you. We'll be back to do that. But first, we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, coming up next month, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is going to be presenting two Women's Fishing 101 workshops. Now, these are open to any ladies over the age of 18. There will be department biologists and volunteer instructors. They will train 15 women per event. Things like fish identification, best fish handling practices, preparing your fishing equipment, basic fishing skills, as well as cleaning, storing, and cooking fish. Now, the participants will be randomly selected from the workshops, as this was considered the fall. There'll be another one in the spring of next year, and they'll pick some ladies who will get a chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip under the direction of the biologists and the volunteer instructors next summer. So here are your workshop dates for the fall. Saturday, September 7th from 9 to 4:30. That's at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge right there in Baton Rouge. And there are some fish in that lake. They keep it pretty well stocked. And then again on Saturday, November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel. And if you would like to apply for that, easiest way I can tell you to do it is go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. Look under fishing, get the drop down for fishing, then go to recreational fishing, and then under that you'll see another icon for fishing workshops, and the registration information's there. Now, they can only take 15 participants for each of these dates. So looking at that, your chances of getting selected by random to go on that overnight weekend fishing trip next summer are pretty good. So these are great programs. I've seen what they do, and for someone who has just never fished before, and I get a lot of that, and I tell you, some women take this course because they've got kids. They might be a single mom, and they've got kids that want to fish, and they don't even know the first thing about where to go, how to get started. This is the perfect opportunity for you. So take advantage of it. It's put on by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Again, it's Saturday, September 7th, and again on November 2nd. It'll be held at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge, which is pretty much within the city limits of Baton Rouge. All right, getting back to the text board. Let's see, we got the dad, Ross L. He is listening. He says, thanks for the reminder. He cleans out the freezer every year for this great cause. And, of course, he's talking about our Clean Out Your Freezer Day or days. And we're going to be talking to Julie Grunwald, the director for Hunters for the Hungry, which is the organization that puts it on. And I don't care if you're listening to us in Shreveport, Acadiana, Monroe, Natchitoches, New Orleans, Houma, St. Francisville. There are drop-off locations all over the state. I'll be at the one in Slidell, and that's going to be next Sunday, the 18th. I'll be at Rouse's. It's on Gauze Boulevard in Slidell from 1 to 4. And there'll be people like me at all of these stations. Stop by and we'll talk a little bit hunting and fishing and drop off your wild game and seafood from your freezer. Or you can purchase food products. They'll accept food products and you can just drop them off if you don't happen to have any fish or game to share. All right, we got some more texts coming in. This is from Nuck Choris. That guy sounds familiar. I think I may know him, Nuck Choris. Anyway, he is heading to Baton Rouge's oldest park. He's going to be tight lining for some catfish and fishing for some brim. There's a nice shady spot there. Boy, it sounds like a good way to spend a Saturday morning, Nuck. Good luck to you. And here's one that says, don't open the water diversion and let Gulf water get to intercoastal, and you really have to look for fish, oysters, brown shrimp. I've never seen dolphin in the bays and so far in before now. 80 years talking. Yep, the dolphins have moved in with the saltwater intrusion. No doubt about that. They're working in a lot closer. Dolphins and pelicans, that's pretty much the two. And sharks, that's the pet predators that you have to try to avoid when you're releasing fish. And by the way, on that catch and release, we've been working on some catch and release tips that will begin airing on Bayou Wild TV. We've done it in conjunction with the Coastal Conservation Association. Just some reminders and some maybe some revelations to some people about how to care for fish, because it's more important now than ever since we've got tighter regulations and higher size limits and slot limits, and more fish have to be released, and it's very important to make sure those fish swim to bite and fight another day. All right, coming back after this, we got another fishing report coming your way. Stick around. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And it's time for our fishing report with Captain Kirk from Hackberry Rod and Gun, and he joins us now live from the dining area at Hackberry Rod and Gun. And Kirk, what kind of crowd you got down there this morning getting ready to go fishing?
Well, we have a full house this morning.
a church group out of Bernie, Texas is here. This today is day number three for them, and they've been catching a few fish. We're not sinking the boats with them, but it's been good enough to make everybody happy.
Well, let me ask you this. When you woke up yesterday morning, did you have the little tease of fall down there like I did over here?
We did. This morning, there's more of it.
Really?
We got to have a northeast wind blowing probably about 8 to 10 right now. The temperature is 80 degrees, but there's no humidity. It's nice. It feels real nice.
If the temperature was 40 degrees lower, this should be December, you know?
You're right.
Well, what kind of fish did they catch, and how'd they catch them?
They're mainly fishing, catching mostly trout. Not many redfish right now at all. But it's all on the lower end of Calcasieu, around the jetties and up north for up to about Ferry, the old river area, is where most of the fish are being caught. The jetties probably the best spot. And, some of the guys are coming in saying they're catching theirs on live shrimp. Others, another one will come in and said he caught all his on down south lures on a 3/16 ounce jig head. And another will come in and say he caught his on the marker 54 glider shrimp.
Yeah, that's one of the hot baits going on right now. There's been some complaints over on the east side that people just releasing so many of these fish under 13. Are y'all having a problem with that on your end?
Look, there's tons of 12 to 13 inches we're having to catch and throw back. And the deal is the dolphin are so bad.
Yeah.
Not one fish you release gets away alive. Not one.
That's disheartening to hear that. I'm kind of wondering if we, trying to preserve something and doing more harm than good by releasing them back in there. I mean, you can't avoid.
In the area we're fishing right now, you're doing more harm. I mean, I've never seen dolphin like they are. Every boat's going to have a half dozen, 10 dolphin around their boat, catching the fish they release. Now, in the lake, it's not bad. It's just down there on the jetties and in the beach, even on the beachfront.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it works out. I guess time will tell whether they've made the right decision by going to that 13-inch or if they should have kept it at 12. We'll see the results. But there are plenty of small fish out there all over the state. That's what I'm hearing.
There's just tons of small fish. I mean, you hear everybody coming in and just say they caught, 75, 100 fish. You could keep 20.
Right.
So we're hearing that every day. So
on another species, when's your next run on flounder coming?
Probably October when they close the season.
that seems to be the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they close it for a reason. That's when they make their run to go spawn. And, and of course, it's the prime time to catch them, and you can't keep any. And that's from – at least we're able to catch the tail end of the run because they close at the end of November. And if it stays relatively warm and don't get a big flood, you'll catch flounder into about mid-December.
Yeah, and after that, they're headed out for parts unknown. Happen to see any of those little birds with the iridescent blue wings flying around, or is it still too early?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys don't come in today and say they've seen some. It's time for them. Usually, August, we get that first little front. You're going to see them. They're going to be coming through. I saw two a couple weeks ago, but nobody, any big reports of, many birds showing up.
Yeah, well, that's a welcome sight when we do see it. Well, Kirk, you guys have a unique situation. You keep a camera on the table down there so people real time can see what's coming in. Tell people how to access that.
Well, you can go to our website. And that's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com, and you just log in, and you can see it. We have two different cameras that show the dock down there. And, it's real time. You can see what's happening.
All right. And if people want to call you and check on some dates, school's getting back in, and people are going to be looking on primarily for some weekend trips now as summer's kind of wrapping up. Tell them how to get a hold of you by telephone.
Okay. For people out of the area, it's toll-free. It's 888-762-3391.
And they can also check on availability for the duck seasons, because I'm sure you're filling up the books already.
Yeah, we are. We're filling up good. I mean, we're looking forward to a good duck season. The marshes are in excellent shape right now with all the rain we've had this year. I mean, there's a lot of duck food in the marsh.
A lot of grass. That's some good news. Kirk, thanks for the report. As always, y'all have fun with the church group, and we'll catch up with you next time for another report.
All right. Well, thank you. Good talking to you as always. You have a great show, Don.
Thank you much, Kirk. We appreciate it. It's Captain Kirk, Hackberry Rod and Gun. All right, got a couple more text messages just coming in. This one wants to know, how's the fishing in Bayou Sinette? Anybody been fishing Bayou Sinette over there near Lafitte lately? Let us know. It's on the west bank of New Orleans. Got some pretty good freshwater action there on occasions. Let me know, 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Also got this one in from Robbie from Chalmette. Not the same Robbie at Campos. It's a different Robbie. They're heading to Bayou Bienvenue, fish the Great Wall. Send me a report next week on how you did, Robbie. We'd appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got another fishing report coming your way. We're going to check in with Darryl Carpenter. All right, checking on our text message board, our communication with our listeners. We got the Backstrap Stacker checking in from Bama. He's headed up to knock down some grass at the camp during this little dry spell. Yeah, if you got a spot that stays a little sloppy and muddy and you got to do some trimming on it, this little dry spell we've had has kind of knocked it out. In fact, yesterday when I got up, boy, it was incredibly light humidity and a little bit cool. It was like 71 degrees, and I was saying, whoa, where did I wake up this morning? And it gives you just that little bit of hint of fall, which kind of gets you pumped up for the hunting season. Go get it back, Strapper. Get your work done. We also have this one. Good morning, Don. We'll be heading to Grand Isle to deliver some offshore weights to Bent Rods Offshore Fishing Charters, sinkers by the pound, LLC. All right, Bent Rods guys, you got some sinkers coming down there. Be ready for them. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify. And on the way back, we're going to get back to the text message and also tell you ladies about some free fishing workshops for you. We'll be back to do that. But first, we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, coming up next month, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is going to be presenting two Women's Fishing 101 workshops. Now, these are open to any ladies over the age of 18. There will be department biologists and volunteer instructors. They will train 15 women per event. Things like fish identification, best fish handling practices, preparing your fishing equipment, basic fishing skills, as well as cleaning, storing, and cooking fish. Now, the participants will be randomly selected from the workshops. As this was considered the fall, there'll be another one in the spring of next year. And they'll pick some ladies who will get a chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip under the direction of the biologists and the volunteer instructors next summer. So here are your workshop dates for the fall. Saturday, September 7th from 9 to 4:30. That's at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge right there in Baton Rouge, and there are some fish in that lake. They keep it pretty well stocked. And then again on Saturday, November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel. And if you would like to apply for that, easiest way I can tell you to do it is go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, look under fishing, get the drop-down for fishing, then go to recreational fishing, and then under that you'll see another icon for fishing workshops, and the registration information's there. Now, they can only take 15 participants for each of these dates. So looking at that, your chances of getting selected by random to go on that overnight weekend fishing trip next summer are pretty good. So these are great programs. I've seen what they do, and for someone who has just never fished before, and I get a lot of that, and I tell you, some women take this course because they've got kids. They might be a single mom, and they've got kids that want to fish, and they don't even know the first thing about where to go, how to get started. This is the perfect opportunity for you. So take advantage of it. It's put on by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Again, it's Saturday, September 7th, and again on November 2nd, it'll be held at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge, which is pretty much within the city limits of Baton Rouge. All right, getting back to the text board, let's see, we got the dad, Ross L., he is listening. He says, thanks for the reminder. He cleans out the freezer every year for this great cause. And, of course, he's talking about our Clean Out Your Freezer Day or days. And we're going to be talking to Julie Grunwald, the director for Hunters for the Hungry, which is the organization that puts it on. And I don't care if you're listening to us in Shreveport, Acadiana, Monroe, Natchitoches, New Orleans, Houma, St. Francisville. There are drop-off locations all over the state. I'll be at the one in Slidell And that's going to be next Sunday, the 18th. I'll be at Rouse's. It's on Gauze Boulevard in Slidell from 1 to 4. And there'll be people like me at all of these stations. Stop by and we'll talk a little bit hunting and fishing and drop off your wild game and seafood from your freezer. Or you can purchase food products. They'll accept food products and you can just drop them off if you don't happen to have any fish or game to share. All right, we got some more texts coming in. This is from Nuck Choris. That guy sounds familiar. I think I may know him, Nuck Choris. Anyway, he is heading to Baton Rouge's oldest park. He's going to be tight lining for some catfish and fishing for some brim. There's a nice shady spot there. Boy, that sounds like a good way to spend a Saturday morning, Nuck. Good luck to you. And here's one that says, don't open the water diversion and let Gulf water get to intercoastal, and you really have to look for fish, oysters, brown shrimp. I've never seen dolphin in the bays and so far before now. 80 years talking. Yep, the dolphins have moved in with the saltwater intrusion. No doubt about that. They're working in a lot closer. Dolphins and pelicans, that's pretty much the two. And sharks, that's the pet predators that you have to try to avoid when you're releasing fish. And by the way, on that catch and release, we've been working on some catch and release tips that we'll begin airing on Bayou Wild TV. We've done it in conjunction with the Coastal Conservation Association. Just some reminders and some maybe some revelations to some people about how to care for fish, because it's more important now than ever since we've got tighter regulations and higher size limits and slot limits, and more fish have to be released, and it's very important to make sure those fish swim to bite and fight another day. All right, coming back after this, we got another fishing report coming your way. Stick around. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Now it's time for our fishing report with Captain Kirk from Hackberry Rod and Gun, and he joins us now live from the dining area at Hackberry Rod and Gun. And Kirk, what kind of crowd you got down there this morning getting ready to go fishing?
Well, we have a full house this morning. Have a church group out of Bernie, Texas is here. Today is day number 3 for them, and they've been catching a few fish. We're not sinking the boats with them, but it's been good enough to make everybody happy.
Well, let me ask you this. When you woke up yesterday morning, did you have the little tease of fall down there like I did over here?
We did. This morning, there's more of it.
Really?
We got to have a northeast wind blowing probably about 8 to 10 right now. The temperature is 80 degrees, but there's no humidity. It's nice. It feels real nice.
If the temperature was 40 degrees lower, this should be December, you know?
You're right.
Well, what kind of fish did they catch, and how'd they catch them?
They're mainly fishing, catching mostly trout. Not many redfish right now at all. But it's all on the lower end of Calcasieu. Around the jetties and up north up to about Ferry, the old river area, is where most of the fish are being caught. The jetties probably the best spot. And, some of the guys are coming in, saying they're catching theirs on live shrimp. Others, another one will come in, said he caught all his on down south lures on a 3/16 ounce jig head. And another will come in, say he caught his on the marker 54 glider shrimp.
Yeah, that bait is that's one of the hot baits going on right now. You know, there's been some complaints over on the east side that people are just releasing so many of these fish under 13. Are y'all having a problem with that on your end?
Look, there's tons of 12 to 13 inches we're having to catch and throw back. And the deal is the dolphin are so bad, not one fish you release gets away alive. Not one.
That's disheartening to hear that. I'm kind of wondering if we, trying to preserve something and doing more harm than good by releasing them back in there. I mean, you can't avoid.
In the area we're fishing right now, you're doing more harm. I mean, I've never seen dolphin like they are. Every boat's going to have a half dozen, 10 dolphin around their boat, catching the fish they release. Now, in the lake, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's just down there on the jetties and in the beach, even on the beachfront.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it works out. I guess time will tell whether they've made the right decision by going to that 13-inch or if they should have kept it at 12. We'll see the results. But there are plenty of small fish out there all over the state. That's what I'm hearing.
There's tons of small fish. I mean, you hear everybody coming in and just say they caught 75, 100 fish. You could keep 20.
Right.
You know, so we're hearing that every day. So
on another species, when's your next run on flounder coming?
Probably October when they close the season.
that seems to be the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they close it for a reason. That's when they make their run to go spawn. And and of course, you know, it's the prime time to catch them, and you can't keep any. That's from at least we're able to catch the tail end of the run because they close at the end of November. And if it stays relatively warm and don't get a big flood, you'll catch flounder into about mid-December.
Yeah, and after that, they're headed out for parts unknown. To see any of those little birds with the iridescent blue wings flying around, or is it still too early?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys don't come in today and say they've seen some. It's time for them. Usually, you know, August, to get that first little front, you're going to see them. They're going to be coming through. I saw two a couple weeks ago, but nobody, any big reports of, you know, many birds showing up.
Yeah, well, that's a welcome sight when we do see it. Well, Kirk, you guys have a unique situation. You keep a camera on the table down there so people real-time can see what's coming in. Tell people how to access that.
Well, you go to our website, and that's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com, and you just log in, and you can see it. We have two different cameras that show the dock down there. And, it's real-time. You can see what's happening.
All right, and if people want to call you and check on some dates, you know, school's getting back in, and people are going to be looking on primarily for some weekend trips now as summer's kind of wrapping up. Tell them how to get a hold of you by telephone.
Okay, for people out of the area, it's toll-free. It's 888-762-3391.
And they can also check on availability for the duck seasons because I'm sure you're filling up the books already.
Yeah, we are. We're filling up good. We're looking forward to a good duck season. The marshes are in excellent shape right now with all the rain we've had this year. And there's a lot of duck food in the marsh.
A lot of grass. That's some good news. Kirk, thanks for the report. As always, y'all have fun with the church group, and we'll catch up with you next time for another report.
All right. Well, thank you. Good talking to you as always. You have a great show, Don.
Thank you much, Kirk. We appreciate it. It's Captain Kirk, Hackberry Rod and Gun. All right, got a couple more text messages just coming in. This one wants to know, how's the fishing in Bayou Sonnet? Anybody been fishing Bayou Sonnet over there near Lafitte lately? Let us know. It's on the west bank of New Orleans. Got some pretty good freshwater action there on occasions. Let me know, 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Also got this one in from Robbie from Chalmette. Not the same Robbie at Campos. It's a different Robbie. They're heading to Bayou Bienvenue, fished a Great Wall. Send me a report next week on how you did, Robbie. We'd appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got another fishing report coming your way. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter, Grand Isle. Grand Isle's getting a new fishing reef next week, and we'll be down there to document it with Bayou Wild. And eventually, Darrell might get a chance to go fish on it. We'll get him to tell you about it and more about Grand Isle fishing if you're interested in headed down to Louisiana's largest island. And we're back to do it. But first, these words on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's take it on down to Grand Isle, where we go each and every week. We talk to our buddy, Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Good morning, Darrell. We're going to be down there on Wednesday for the reef construction and dedication. Todd Graves, Raising Cane's, coming up with $100,000 to help build and install this artificial reef. And I believe the name of the place is El Cid. And I think you and I fished there before. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, Don. Probably one of the most memorable trips that you'll remember we had there is where we had cast netted a bunch of live pogies. And, in fact, Rad Thrasher and them were fishing the boat in front of us and wasn't catching anything. We sat there, had our quick little limit, and then gave them the pogies we had left. And the story I heard later was that was the bait of the day because they ended up with a limit of trout also right after we left. You'll probably remember that trip.
Oh, I remember it very well. That was a great day we had out there, and I think this reef is only going to help that situation out there. And I believe you're involved in this in some kind of way. Are they coming to launch their boats by you or something?
Not that I'm aware of. Todd used to be one of my best customers, but he's kind of gotten into that philanthropy work, and I hadn't seen him in a while. But I mean, heck, they're more than welcome to. That's for sure. Sid's going to be a great reef. I like the way they're doing that. you know, because now what they're doing, it seems like their last couple of reefs, what they've done is they've looked for natural features that just aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're putting them on those natural features, which is really attracting fish, like that Independence Island reef. It's the most productive reef probably they've ever put down. And SID's going to be the same way. The only problem with SID is SID being right on that waterway. I've heard your show this morning is there's probably some of the most aggressive dolphins I've ever seen hanging out around SID, and it's going to be a real issue, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you in Grand Isle, are the fishermen having the same issues with just tons and tons of these small undersized fish that have to be released and a lot of them being sacrificed either due to mishandling or the predators, the sharks, the pelicans, and the dolphins gobbling them up?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a broken record. In fact, that was part of my testimony during the trout regulations. They should have gone more basin-specific with this. L.A. Creel has the ability to do it. They just didn't want to. As soon as they bumped it up to 13, everybody on Grand Isle had the same concern. And, you know, we saw it before the regulation change. Our predator rate is so high down here that, you know, there's very few of those 12-inch fish that are making it whenever, you know, those 12, 13-inch fish, whenever you throw them back, very, very few are surviving. And, it's a problem. And in the last 3 weeks, the sharks have shown up. So, you know, now we got them coming from both directions.
Well, at least the good news is there's fish out there to be caught. At least you're catching them. Now, whether you're releasing them or putting them back on the ice, that's another matter there.
Well, Don, you know, this past week has been a little bit of a challenge because of the different weather scenarios we had going on. But the good thing is as long as it's got enough north in it or enough south in it, we're able to accommodate because of the way the island is. So this past week, most of our fishing has been out on the front, which has been really good. And, you know, the 12-inch thing hasn't been that big of a problem, or the 13-inch limit hasn't been that big of a problem, because what we found yesterday, our water temperature topped out at 93 degrees. I mean, it was as hot as a hot tub. So those fish are trying to go deep on us, especially the trout. They're trying to go deep. So, you know, we've been catching our fish on the beach, but out in the second and third trough to where they're in 8 to 10 feet of water. We're still having to deal with the sharks tremendously. Of course, the dolphins are just everywhere. But they've been good fish. It's just whether or not you can lay down enough cover fire, so to speak, you know, throwing weights and everything else at the predators to get them to the boat before they eat them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some thought to try to overcome that particular problem, but I know it's extremely bad in a lot of areas. Darryl, talk about that hot water. I was fishing last weekend. We fished out of Sipramore Point, 60 miles out. It was 91 degrees at Gulf water temperature. The fish are almost parboiled when you bring them up. Yeah. So best tip of the day is fish deep, man, because those fish got to find that comfort zone somewhat anyway.
Yeah, well, like I said, Don, the fish that we've been catching, you know, and this week whenever we went out there hunting for those trout, we found that every one of them, I mean, probably the shallowest we caught anything was 6.5 feet, but most of them have been 8 feet or deeper, 8 to 10 feet. And, of course, the live bait's a challenge right now. Trying to keep it alive in 93-degree water, your shrimp are balling in the live well. So even yesterday, we ran some shrimp trips yesterday, and I noticed that, you know, once we pulled the bag up and dumped the bag in the picking box, there wasn't a whole lot of activity. It wasn't like those shrimp were jumping around everywhere. It's so hot that you do anything that breaks their normal routine and you're pretty much killing them. So, it's just a challenge. Right now you got to fish a lot of plastic, which is no problem. If you put some confidence in plastic and spend some time with it and learn it, plastic out catches live probably 60-70% of the time. And you're talking, like I said, that's coming from somebody that sells live bait. So, I mean, you know, it's just putting the time in and getting confident with it.
Somebody wants to put time in with you, give them the telephone number.
225-937-6288.
And realscreamers.com is the website. Thanks for the report, Darryl.
Yes,
y'all have
sir.
A great day. Enjoy this little north wind while we got it.
Well, it kind of messed me up this morning. It's blowing a little harder than it was supposed to, but we're about to go try it.
Give it a shot. All right, we'll be back right after this pause with more of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And it's time for our fishing report with Captain Kirk from Hackberry Rod and Gun, and he joins us now live from the dining area at Hackberry Rod and Gun. And Kirk, what kind of crowd you got down there this morning getting ready to go fishing?
We have a full house this morning. Have a church group out of Bernie, Texas is here. Today is day number 3 for them, and they've been catching a few fish. We're not sinking the boats with them, but it's been good enough to make everybody happy.
Well, let me ask you this. When you woke up yesterday morning, did you have the little tease of fall down there like I did over here?
We did. This morning, there's more of it.
Really?
We got to have a northeast wind blowing probably about 8 to 10 right now. The temperature is 80 degrees, but there's no humidity. It's nice. It feels real nice.
If the temperature was 40 degrees lower, this would be December, you know?
You're right.
Well, what kind of fish did they catch, and how'd they catch them?
They're mainly fishing, catching mostly trout, not many redfish right now at all. But it's all on the lower end of Calcasieu, around the jetties and up north up to about Ferry, the old river area, is where most of the fish are being caught. The jetties probably the best spot. And, some of the guys are coming in, saying they're catching theirs on live shrimp. Others, another one will come in, said he caught all his on down south lures on 3/16 ounce jig head. And another will come in and say he caught his on the marker 54 glider shrimp.
Yeah, that's one of the hot baits going on right now. There's been some complaints over on the east side that people are just releasing so many of these fish under 13. Are y'all having a problem with that on your end?
Look, there's tons of 12 to 13 inches we're having to catch and throw back. And the deal is the dolphin are so bad.
Yeah.
Not one fish you release gets away alive. Not one.
That's disheartening to hear that. I'm kind of wondering if we, trying to preserve something and doing more harm than good by releasing them back in there. I mean, you can't avoid.
In the area we're fishing right now, you're doing more harm. I mean, I've never seen dolphin like they are. Every boat's going to have a half dozen, 10 dolphin around their boat, catching the fish they release. Now, in the lake, it's not bad. It's just down there on the jetties and in the beach, even on the beachfront.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it works out. I guess time will tell whether they've made the right decision by going to that 13-inch or if they should have kept it at 12. We'll see the results. But there are plenty of small fish out there all over the state. That's what I'm hearing.
There's just tons of small fish. I mean, you hear everybody coming in and you say they caught, 75, 100 fish. You could keep 20.
Right.
So we're hearing that every day. So
on another species, when's your next run on flounder coming?
Probably October when they close the season.
that seems to be the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they close it for a reason. That's when they make their run to go spawn. And and of course, it's the prime time to catch them, and you can't keep any. And that's from at least we're able to catch the tail end of the run because they close at the end of November. And if it stays relatively warm and don't get a big flood, you'll catch flounder into about mid-December.
Yeah, and after that, they're headed out for parts unknown. To see any of those little birds with the iridescent blue wings flying around, or is it still too early?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys don't come in today and say they've seen some. It's time for them. Usually, August, to get that first little front, you're going to see them. They're going to be coming through. I saw two a couple weeks ago, but nobody, any big reports of, many birds showing up.
Yeah, well, that's a welcome sight when we do see it. Well, Kirk, you guys have a unique situation. You keep a camera on the table down there so people real time can see what's coming in. Tell people how to access that.
Well, you go to our website. And that's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com, and you just log in, and you can see it. We have two different cameras that show the dock down there. And, it's real time. You can see what's happening.
All right. And if people want to call you and check on some dates, school's getting back in, and people are going to be looking on primarily for some weekend trips now as summer's kind of wrapping up. Tell them how to get a hold of you by telephone.
Okay, for people out of the area, it's toll free. It's 888-762-3391.
And they can also check on availability for the duck seasons, because I'm sure you're filling up the books already.
Yeah, we are. We're filling up good. We're looking forward to a good duck season. The marshes are in excellent shape right now with all the rain we've had this year. I mean, there's a lot of duck food in the marsh.
A lot of grass. That's some good news. Kirk, thanks for the report. As always, y'all have fun with the church group, and we'll catch up with you next time for another report.
All right. Well, thank you. Good talking to you as always. You have a great show, Don.
Thank you much, Kirk. We appreciate it. It's Captain Kirk, Hackberry Rod and Gun. All right, got a couple more text messages just coming in. This one wants to know, how's the fishing in Bayou Sonnet? Anybody been fishing Bayou Sonnet over there near Lafitte lately? Let us know. It's on the west bank of New Orleans. Got some pretty good freshwater action there on occasions. Let me know, 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Also got this one in from Robbie from Chalmette. Not the same Robbie at Campos. It's a different Robbie. They're heading to Bayou Bienvenue to fish the Great Wall. Send me a report next week on how you did, Robbie. We'd appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got another fishing report coming your way. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter, Grand Isle. Grand Isle's getting a new fishing reef next week, and we'll be down there to document it with Bayou Wild. And eventually, Darrell might get a chance to go fish on it. We'll get him to tell you about it and more about Grand Isle fishing if you're interested in headed down to Louisiana's largest island. And we're back to do it. But first, these words on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's take it on down to Grand Isle, where we go each and every week. We talk to our buddy, Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Good morning, Darrell. We're going to be down there on Wednesday for the reef construction and dedication. Todd Graves, Raising Cane's, coming up with $100,000 to help build and install this artificial reef. And I believe the name of the place is El Cid. And I think you and I fished there before. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, Don. Probably one of the most memorable trips that you'll remember we had there is where we had cast netted a bunch of live pogies. And, in fact, Rad Thrasher and them were fishing the boat in front of us and wasn't catching anything. We sat there, had our quick little limit, and then gave them the pogies we had left. And the story I heard later was that was the bait of the day because they ended up with a limit of trout also right after we left. You'll probably remember that trip.
Oh, I remember it very well. That was a great day we had out there, and I think this reef is only going to help that situation out there. And I believe you're involved in this in some kind of way. Are they coming to launch their boats by you or something?
Not that I'm aware of. Todd used to be one of my best customers, but he's kind of gotten into that philanthropy work, and I hadn't seen him in a while. But I mean, heck, they're more than welcome to. That's for sure. Sid's going to be a great reef. I like the way they're doing that. You know, because now what they're doing, it seems like their last couple of reefs, what they've done is they've looked for natural features that just aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're putting them on those natural features, which is really attracting fish, like that Independence Island reef. It's the most productive reef probably they've ever put down. And Sid's going to be the same way. The only problem with Sid is Sid being right on that waterway. I've heard your show this morning is there's probably some of the most aggressive dolphins I've ever seen hanging out around Sid, and it's going to be a real issue, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you in Grand Isle, are the fishermen having the same issues with just tons and tons of these small undersized fish that have to be released and a lot of them being sacrificed either due to mishandling or the predators, the sharks, the pelicans, and the dolphins gobbling them up?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a broken record. In fact, that was part of my testimony during the trout regulations is, you know, they should have gone more basin specific with this. L.A. Creel has the ability to do it. They just didn't want to. As soon as they bumped it up to 13, everybody on Grand Isle had the same concern. And, you know, we saw it before the regulation change. Our predator rate is so high down here that, you know, there's very few of those 12-inch fish that are making it whenever, you know, those 12, 13-inch fish, whenever you throw them back, very, very few are surviving. And, it's a problem. And in the last 3 weeks, the sharks have shown up. So, you know, now we got them coming from both directions.
Well, at least the good news is there's fish out there to be caught. At least you're catching them. Now, whether you're releasing them or putting them back on the ice, that's another matter there.
Well, Don, you know, this past week has been a little bit of a challenge because of the different weather scenarios we had going on. But the good thing is as long as it's got enough north in it or enough south in it, we're able to accommodate because of the way the island is. So this past week, most of our fishing has been out on the front, which has been really good. And, you know, the 12-inch thing hasn't been that big of a problem, or the 13-inch limit hadn't been that big of a problem, because what we found yesterday, our water temperature topped out at 93 degrees. I mean, it was as hot as a hot tub. So those fish are trying to go deep on us, especially the trout. They're trying to go deep. So, you know, we've been catching our fish on the beach, but out in the second and third trough to where they're in 8 to 10 feet of water. We're still having to deal with the sharks tremendously. Of course, the dolphins are just everywhere, but they've been good fish. It's just whether or not you can lay down enough cover fire, so to speak, you know, throwing weights and everything else at the predators to get them to the boat before they eat them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some thought to try to overcome that particular problem, but I know it's extremely bad in a lot of areas. Daryl, talking about that hot water, I was fishing last weekend. We fished out of Sycamore Point, 60 miles out. It was 91 degrees at Gulf water temperature. The fish are almost parboiled when you bring them up. So best tip of the day is fish deep, man, because those fish got to find that comfort zone somewhat anyway.
Yeah, well, like I said, Don, the fish that we've been catching, you know, and this week whenever we went out there hunting for those trout, we found that every one of them, I mean, probably the shallowest we caught anything was 6.5 feet, but most of them have been 8 feet or deeper, 8 to 10 feet. And, of course, the live bait's a challenge right now. Trying to keep it alive in 93-degree water, your shrimp are balling in the live well. So even yesterday, we ran some shrimp trips yesterday, and I noticed that, you know, once we pulled the bag up and dumped the bag in the picking box, there wasn't a whole lot of activity. It wasn't like those shrimp were jumping around everywhere. It's so hot that you do anything that breaks their normal routine and you're pretty much killing them. So, you know, it's just a challenge right now. You got to fish a lot of plastic, which is no problem. If you put some confidence in plastic and spend some time with it and learn it, plastic out catches live probably 60-70% of the time. And you're talking, like I said, that's coming from somebody that sells live bait. So, I mean, you know, it's just putting the time in and getting confident with it.
Somebody wants to put time in with you, give them the telephone number.
225-937-6288.
And realscreamers.com is the website. Thanks for the report, Daryl.
Yes,
y'all have
sir.
A great day. Enjoy this little north wind while we got it.
Well, it kind of messed me up this morning. It's blowing a little harder than it was supposed to, but we're about to go try it.
Give it a shot. All right, we'll be back right after this pause with more of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And let's take it on down to Grand Isle, where we go each and every week. We talk to our buddy Daryl Carpenter of realscreamers.com. Good morning, Daryl. We're going to be down there on Wednesday for the reef construction and dedication. Todd Graves, Raising Cane's, coming up with $100,000 to help build and install this artificial reef. And I believe the name of the place is El Cid. And I think you and I fished there before. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, Don. Probably one of the most memorable trips that you'll remember we had there is where we had cast netted a bunch of live pogies. And, in fact, Rad Thrasher and them were fishing the boat in front of us and wasn't catching anything. We sat there, had our quick little limit, and then gave them the pogies we had left. And the story I heard later was that was the bait of the day because they ended up with a limit of trout also right after we left. You'll probably remember that trip.
Oh, I remember it very well. That was a great day we had out there, and I think this reef is only going to help that situation out there. And I believe you're involved in this in some kind of way. Are they coming to launch their boats by you or something?
Not that I'm aware of. Todd used to be one of my best customers, but you know, he's kind of gotten into that philanthropy work, and I hadn't seen him in a while. But I mean, heck, they're more than welcome to. That's for sure. Sid's going to be a great reef. I like the way they're doing that. You know, because now what they're doing, it seems like their last couple of reefs, what they've done is they've looked for natural features that just aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're putting them on those natural features, which is really attracting fish, like that Independence Island reef. It's the most productive reef probably they've ever put down. And Sid's going to be the same way. The only problem with Sid is Sid being right on that waterway. I've heard your show this morning is there's probably some of the most aggressive dolphins I've ever seen hanging out around Sid, and it's going to be a real issue, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you in Grand Isle? Are the fishermen having the same issues with just tons and tons of these small undersized fish that have to be released and a lot of them being sacrificed either due to mishandling or the predators, the sharks, the pelicans, and the dolphins gobbling them up?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a broken record. In fact, that was part of my testimony during the trout regulations. You know, they should have gone more basin specific with this. L.A. Creel has the ability to do it. They just didn't want to. As soon as they bumped it up to 13, everybody on Grand Isle had the same concern. And, you know, we saw it before the regulation change. Our predator rate is so high down here that, you know, there's very few of those 12-inch fish that are making it whenever, you know, those 12, 13-inch fish, whenever you throw them back, very, very few are surviving. And, it's a problem. And in the last 3 weeks, the sharks have shown up. So, you know, now we got them coming from both directions.
Well, at least the good news is there's fish out there to be caught. At least you're catching them. Now, whether you're releasing them or putting them back on the ice, that's another matter there.
Well, Don, you know, this past week has been a little bit of a challenge because of the different weather scenarios we had going on. But the good thing is as long as it's got enough north in it or enough south in it, we're able to accommodate because of the way the island is. So this past week, most of our fishing has been out on the front, which has been really good. And, you know, the 12-inch thing hasn't been that big of a problem, or the 13-inch limit hadn't been that big of a problem, because what we found yesterday, our water temperature topped out at 93 degrees. I mean, it was as hot as a hot tub. So those fish are trying to go deep on us, especially the trout. They're trying to go deep. So, you know, we've been catching our fish on the beach, but out in the second and third trough to where they're in 8 to 10 feet of water. We're still having to deal with the sharks tremendously. Of course, the dolphins are just everywhere. But they've been good fish. It's just whether or not you can lay down enough cover fire, so to speak, you know, throwing weights and everything else at the predators to get them to the boat before they eat them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some thought to try to overcome that particular problem, but I know it's extremely bad in a lot of areas. Darryl, talking about that hot water, I was fishing last weekend. We fished out of Sycamore Point, 60 miles out. It was 91 degrees at Gulf water temperature. The fish are almost parboiled when you bring them up. So best tip of the day is fish deep, man, because those fish got to find that comfort zone somewhat anyway.
Yeah, well, like I said, Don, the fish that we've been catching, you know, and this week whenever we went out there hunting for those trout, we found that every one of them, I mean, probably the shallowest we caught anything was 6.5 feet, but most of them have been 8 feet or deeper, 8 to 10 feet. And, of course, the live bait's a challenge right now. Trying to keep it alive in 93-degree water, your shrimp are balling in the live well. So even yesterday, we ran some shrimp trips yesterday, and I noticed that, you know, once we pulled the bag up and dumped the bag in the picking box, there wasn't a whole lot of activity. It wasn't like those shrimp were jumping around everywhere. It's so hot that you do anything that breaks their normal routine and you're pretty much killing them. So, you know, it's just a challenge right now. You got to fish a lot of plastic, which is no problem. If you put some confidence in plastic and spend some time with it and learn it, plastic out catches live probably 60-70% of the time. And you're talking, like I said, that's coming from somebody that sells live bait. So, I mean, you know, it's just putting the time in and getting confident with it.
Somebody wants to put time in with you, give them the telephone number.
225-937-6288.
And realscreamers.com is the website. Thanks for the report, Darryl.
Yes,
y'all have
sir.
A great day. Enjoy this little north wind while we got it.
Well, it kind of messed me up this morning. It's blowing a little harder than it was supposed to, but we're about to go try it.
Give it a shot. All right, we'll be back right after this pause with more of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.